about everybody, okay? Same here. I have never, obviously I'm quite familiar with the composer, Alfred Smith. Met him a time or two, but this is one song I'm not familiar with, so thank you. It's a good song, a lot of good stuff in there. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Pray that you would continue to guide and direct our pastor as he preaches the word. Pray that our hearts would be open to your leading in our lives. Thank you for our time together. We pray that it would be a profitable time tonight. And we do pray also for this coming weekend that all the events coming up would bring honor and glory to you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, we got the wedding Saturday at 1.
Amen.
Then normal Sunday school and church.
What's so funny?
On Sunday, the potluck dinner, and then the induction service at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. So that's all coming up this weekend, so there's going to be a lot going on. So, all right, looking forward to what the Lord will do for us. And speaking of that induction service, it'll be great to see a lot of those guys again. Some of them we haven't seen in a very long time. So a couple of them were at Kelly's funeral, but other than that, we haven't seen a lot of them. So be good to see them all again and thank them in person once again for all the effort that they made on behalf of our church for all these years. It's hard to believe it's been over 4 years ago that Pastor Freeman went home to heaven. So it's, time passes so quickly. All right, I don't know of any other announcements that I'm aware of right now. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. All right, here we go. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right.
Good verse.
I think most of you know that for a lot of the time before our pastor came, it was the men on the church committee who were selecting the memory verses we would do during adult Sunday school class. And this last one that we're on now happens to be one of my favorite passages, and I chose it. So hope it's a blessing to you. All right. Jason, do you have a second one there?
367.
All right. 367.
Thank you.
good song.
I like that.
That's good. Good song. All right. All right, we'll try not to take very long. If any of you have a prayer request you would like to mention, we'll take those real quickly here. Joe.
Yeah, I don't know if how many folks remember Marie and Bill Buckles. We got a call from Marie today. Their daughter, she got married about a year ago. Then she got pregnant, and they found out her daughter, Jenny, has congestional heart failure, and one of the valves is not working. So they're going to have a C-section on Tuesday to take the baby so they can get working on her. So she asked for prayer for the C-section, and then also that they could help Jenny with her heart. It sounded very brave the way Marie was talking. So she would appreciate prayer for her.
I saw you next. Go ahead.
Yeah. My grandson, Luke Boyd, he's 24 years old. He was in Carson County Correctional Facility in jail until April 5th for dealing drugs. Now he's he is paroled. My daughter, Rebecca, and I have been trying to contact him. No avail. Please pray for him at the church so that he doesn't have any male member of his family. He's always with his mother, who is an alcoholic, and he just needs some Christian man to watch over him and convict him, and so I'm sorry.
Okay, well, put him in case some of you couldn't hear what she said. Her grandson, Luke, got himself into a lot of trouble, was in jail until just recently for drugs, and was just paroled. She and her daughter, Rebecca, a lot of you know her. Her daughters come here sometimes to visit. They've been trying to reach out to him, but have been unsuccessful in reaching out to him. He does not have good male influences in his life. And so she's concerned he may go right back to that lifestyle that he's been in. And in addition to all that, obviously the root problem is he's not saved. So we need to pray for him and his mother, who he spends the most time with, who's an alcoholic and probably not saved also, correct?
She gave all of her children away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So difficult situation, so pray for his salvation and not to go back to that lifestyle, and also that Barbara will be able to get in touch with him. Alright. Yes, Donna.
I heard from Jane yesterday, and her dad was still in the hospital. I'm assuming he's still in today, but she said he's very confused and getting out of bed and argumentative and restless, and so having a rough time with him. He does have pneumonia. She said before he doesn't do well in the hospital.
Okay. Do we know anything new about Kathy Helley's mother?
So I talked to Brother Craig today. He said that they moved her to a nursing home.
so she's going to be in a nursing home. She won't ever be able to walk again, and she doesn't want to be put on life support or a ventilator. So they're just asking for prayer. I know they're really tired and wore out, so basically she's in a nursing home now, and we're just waiting to see what happens. It's the doctor's point.
In case anyone couldn't hear, Kathy Kelly's mother had to be moved to a nursing home and is unable to.
Let me just update the pastor. I got a call just before I came. Okay. My brother Kelly. They're hoping they could get her to Cedar Brook because their daughter is a nurse there in Cedar Brook, and that's where they would like to have her so she could keep an eye on her. Oh, but it's I guess a wait and see of what's available for her to get in, and they like to get her in there any place possible.
So basically she's unable to take care of herself anymore.
Yeah. Okay. She cannot take care of herself.
All right.
It's not a hospice, right? She's still...
Yeah. It's not hospice yet.
Oh, no, okay. not hospice.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So all right. Okay. Anything else? We need to continue to pray for Les Pirelli as well. He's not doing well right now, so we need to pray for him. And obviously, his wife and his brother are very much concerned about him. He's fought a long time. I'm not sure how long he's had the cancer, but it's got to be close to a similar amount of time that your dad had.
That's a long time.
So, and typically that cancer, the average person only lives about 5 years with it. He's already well surpassed that. So, need to pray. All right. Anything else? You want to pray for a great day on Saturday?
Amen.
It's a blessing to be upon it. And be all right with us if there aren't any hiccups. That'd be okay with us.
I'd be okay with that, too.
All right. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
I want to just mention the airport is having an emergency drill thing on Saturday.
From 8 to noon, I saw the sign.
If you come around that way and you see a lot of activity going on with fire trucks and stuff, it's not real.
Well, it's real, but it's a drill. Okay. Got it. All right. An emergency preparedness drill of some sort. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think that's it, Pastor. We'll turn it over to you now.
So for anybody that didn't get the... I sent an email out with the updated... Well, it's already obsolete. So, yeah, there's already something that needs to be changed in it. So, yeah. But it's only a small thing. So, but if you want a copy of the update, it's still a working document. there's copies up here. I think I got 7 of them. So you could just take it, read through it. If you find anything, please let me know. And we'll change it and get it to where it needs to be. If you didn't get an email copy, but this is the update of the update, but it's not the most update because I have to change something. So if you want one of those, it's in this manila envelope or manila folder up here. You grab that. But do keep Brother Les in prayer. Me and Brother Joe were able to go by and visit him yesterday. And you can just see it in his face. And even Sister Nancy, it's weighing hard on him. So just keep him in prayer. And then two individuals also had a chance to talk to a lady named Vicky and Jim at the same time. I was out there in Nazareth and had about an hour, hour and a half conversation with him. So just keep him in prayer that God would just help him out. Just interesting how here's another group of people, or at least one person was talking about how the church has replaced Israel. So it just seems like I keep running into people that just think this, and they're Christian. You know, it's, brother, I think it's just too much time spent on television and the internet and not enough time in the Bible. But she received it. I mean, I had a wonderful opportunity to talk. And it's sad because you bring verses up to them and they're as if they've never heard them before. Right? You bring them these verses up, and even about eternal security as far as salvation goes. And it was just like, what's this new thing that we're hearing? So just keep both of them in prayer. And, you know, I'm gonna say this too. I have my views on politics. You know, I think anybody should. If you care for your country, you should vote, okay, for the best candidate. But we're not here for our nation now. And what I mean by that, we have a higher calling. And I'm dead serious on this. So this older gentleman there that was there, that was listening, Jim, he brought up. And I think it was, he wasn't doing it maliciously. There's no malicious, I believe with all my heart, he was sincere. He was really sincere. And he had some sincere, he had some right questions, valid questions. And I totally ignored it. And I went straight through about why we're supposed to be here, and it's for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because me, brethren, all government's corrupt. I don't care who's in there, the whole thing's corrupt. And it's going down fast. And so if I would have made it an issue, I might have lost an opportunity to give the gospel, which is a quadrillion times, if there's a bigger number than a quadrillion, I don't even know if that's a number, if there's one, more important than who's in office. The gospel of Jesus Christ. His soul, this man's soul is more important. And he sat there and listened, and as I was getting ready to leave, he was talking with somebody else that was there, so I didn't get a chance to give him a track, but I waited in my car for a second, and I saw him go to his truck, so I went over to him, and he said he was going to come over to me because he saw I was still there, and he was going to thank me. And I'm not trying to lift myself up at all. I'm just saying he thanked me for that I didn't, the way I conducted myself. And that he was thankful that I would answer his questions without having an attitude. He's very thankful. Wonderful man. So keep them two in prayer. Jim and Vicky, two separate individuals, but they're both there. Had an opportunity to talk with them about their soul. Keep them in prayer. I invited them out to church. One of them doesn't live very far from here, that God would just deal with them. They'd come out to church. And if we pray and we let God work in our life, I believe all my heart, God will bring people across our path. Right? At the right timing. I mean, I didn't even bring the thing. This woman that was there, she started asking questions and talking about how she reads her Bible. And it just opened up into a wonderful opportunity for over an hour to talk about the things of God, which I would have never expected in the situation I was in. Never would have expected it. But I'm thankful how God works this evening. Take your Bible, and we're going to look at 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 1. But before we do that, I'm going to read this verse, but I really want to pray this evening also. And I know later on we'll pray as individuals and little groups. I know it's weighing hard and heavy on Sister Barb's heart for her grandson Luke, that God would just get a hold of him. He knows what she's told me. He's heard truth before. He's heard the gospel, but that God would just get a hold of him. And then we just pray for that this evening. But I'll pick up here real quick. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll read this verse and then we'll pray. And the last thing to look at here as far as the building blocks to add to our faith, it says here in verse number 7, and the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. Last week we looked at brotherly kindness. This evening we're going to look at charity. So let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for how wonderful you are. Dear God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can breathe this evening. Lord, I thank you that we can move about and Lord, be about your business. I pray, Lord, tonight you just bless this service. I pray you'd give us something out of your word that, again, Lord, would help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, that we'd be sharp, dear God, that we would be, Lord, have discernment. And, dear God, you would just give us opportunities, Lord. You'd give us open doors with those that we come in contact throughout the week, dear God. Help us to have an ear to hear. And, Lord, that you would give us boldness, Father, at the time to speak, Lord, that we wouldn't shy away from it. But if it is an open door, Lord, that you would just give us boldness to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray this evening for Luke Boyd. Lord God, you know where he's at this evening. You know exactly where he's at, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would just deal with his heart. I pray you'd bring conviction upon him. Lord, I pray he'd think about his condition and the road that he is on. Lord, that he would take serious. Lord, that you would just bring across his mind the scriptures he may have heard. And Lord, that you would just deal with him tonight, Lord, wherever he may be. And I pray you just help Sister Barbara also, Lord, comfort her, strengthen her, and help her. Lord, I pray you'd help our dear brother and sister, Brother Les and Sister Nancy, Lord, strengthen and encourage me with them. Lord, the Hellies, Brother Craig and Sister Kathy, I pray you'd strengthen and encourage them, Lord. I know they're very tired. Lord, I know they're wore out. I pray you'd give them rest this evening, Lord, and I pray you just continue to help Miss Rachel. And Lord, just that you would just provide an open door, an open bed there at that nursing home, that she would be able to get in there, and dear God, and that their daughter would be able to help her out. And Lord, we ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brethren, we're picking up this evening. We're going to close with this last building block that we're to add to our faith, to virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And lastly, Peter says here, and to brotherly kindness charity. Why do we want to add these things to our faith? In verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 now, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of what? The divine nature. The goal this evening, as we read through these building blocks that Peter gives to us, the purpose is that we might be partakers of the divine nature and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It does no good this evening to come into church to read God's word, to learn about these different things that Peter talks about, and yet not add them to our life and desire to be a partaker to the divine nature and to walk in a life of godliness and holiness. It does no good to just come and go out and be a forgetful hearer and just hear it. You won't be a doer. Yeah, this is good. I'm glad I'm in church, but then I go out these doors and there's no difference in my life. Okay? This is the question I got. If there's no difference, if there's no change, if there's no desire to change, I would have to question the salvation of that individual. If there's no desire to draw close to God, if there's no desire to implement the things that God shows you personally through the power of the Holy Ghost, and you don't have a desire to grow and add to your faith these things, then one would have to be suspect of the new birth. Have to be suspect. He says there in verse number 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, the last thing he says is charity. Okay? Charity is this. It's in a general sense, it can mean love, it can mean benevolence, it can mean goodwill. It says that it's that disposition of the heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. It means liberality to the poor, consistent in almsgiving or in gratitude service to relieve them in distress. This is another definition of charity. It means candor. It means liberality in judging of men and their actions. This is important. It says, a disposition which inclines men to think and to judge favorably and to put the best construction on words and actions which the case will admit. Basically, when you're showing charity, you're thinking the best of that individual, no matter up to the point of what that case can admit. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to look at, there's a lot of individuals, and almost, I don't think there's any other Bible besides the King James, as far as the English translations go, that put charity in there, rather they put love. There's a difference between love and charity. If I have a homeless man come up to me and I'm going to show him charity, but I might not love him because I don't know him. Does that make sense? I might love him because God wants me to love him, but as far as true love being there, I don't even know the man. But I can show him charity. And so charity is basically, you're thinking the best of the individual, and you're willing to help them out, even though you may not even know them. That means this, the highest exercise of charity, this is what it says. It says, the highest exercise of charity is charity towards the uncharitable. Basically, somebody you don't like, someone that rubs you the wrong way, someone you can't stand, or a group of people you don't like, or situations you don't like that people are in, and showing charity to them even though they don't deserve it because they're uncharitable. That is charity. Candor means this. It means a disposition to treat subjects with fairness, freedom from prejudice or disguise. That is charity. Now, this is the definition of love, an affection of the mind excited by beauty and worth of any kind or by the qualities of an object which communicates pleasure, sensual or intellectual. Usually we love a book, we love a song because of what it does for us. Charity is going forward even though the love might not be there or be reciprocated back to you. So there is a difference between charity and love. Though they're very similar, there is a difference. Now, take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. I'll give you an example of charity, and it didn't quite work out the way I wanted. Well, I prayed that the Lord would. I'll give you an example that. So we were at, I was at Walmart last night with my wife, and we were picking some things up, and I went through the self-checkout area. And I don't know if you saw that it was a young man with the pink hair. You didn't see him. You saw him. He had his, and I felt bad. He had his head was shaved up. He had pink hair. He was probably a sodomite the way he was carrying himself. He was acting like a female. He was dressed a certain way and all that. My first instinct is that's a reproach, right? Obviously, it's ungodly. It's not right. It's an abomination to God if it is that way of sodomy, right? The Bible talks about that. But then my mind says, okay, Lord, because the way the situation was, I didn't have an opportunity. I wanted to talk to him, and I wanted to invite him out to church. That's what I wanted to do. But I pray, Lord, that you work this situation out, because I didn't want to get into a mess either. I didn't know how he would react. So I pray for an opportunity. Listen, if I can see him out in the parking lot, I can go up to his car and talk to him. Lord, open up the door to do so. When I went out the parking lot, I don't know if you saw me. I was looking all around. That's why I drove through a couple times trying to find him. I didn't find him. And when we were pulling out, come with the light, he was right in front of us. But I didn't get an opportunity. But that would have been charity. That would have been an exhibit of charity. You know, my first, and I watched after he walked out, there was a security officer there, a woman employee, and they started making fun of him and saying things. And rightfully so, in the sense of looking at it as far as it being ungodly, maybe if that's the way they were looking at it, okay, I can see why you would say that, because it is ungodly if he is living that way. But then there also still should be charity on our part if God would open up a door now. If they reject it, that's on them. But I shouldn't look at that individual of, I'm not even going to attempt to even talk to you about the Lord because of the way you look and the way you act. Your first instinct, if you're trying to live for God, yes, you look at it and you say, that is an abomination, that's wickedness, that's not right. But also, if an opportunity arises that God might give me an opportunity to talk to him about Jesus Christ, I need to take that opportunity, even though it might not be something that I would agree with or look highly upon. Because I don't know this individual's background. I don't know how they were raised. I don't even know if they have parents. I can almost guarantee 100% that that young man never had a father figure in his life. I can almost put 100% bet on that thing there that he ain't had no man influence on his life. So what God was dealing with me about, as I'm standing there in the line, my wife didn't even know about it. My daughter saw him, but God was dealing about it. How is my heart towards this individual? Right? Would I be willing to show him charity? Now, I'm not going to have a love for him in a sense of we're friends and I have a connection with you. Absolutely not. But a charitable attitude of, if I have an opportunity to give a gospel to this young man, God, if you open the door, may I walk through it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Look what the Bible says. It says, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. But look what Paul says. He says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And I love verse number 2. Look, these are something that you can take. Look, and as you go out these doors, and if you have an opportunity and you like to listen to preaching from other men, or you get books, or you get lessons, or whatever, And this is something that's look at here. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. If there's pride that's crept up in an individual and they have an air of pride and they think that they've got it all together, then the Bible says here, Paul says to those in Corinth, he says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Because I believe this, the more time you spend drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more time you spend in his word, the more you realize what you are in the presence of God. And that is nothing without him. That you're nothing really. In reality, you are nothing but a pile of dirt that God's given life to for a short period of time. Other than that, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, we are nothing. And when we start to puff ourselves up to think that we are something, God says, you're deceiving yourself, son or daughter, because outside of me, you are nothing. And David got that down when he said, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? So Paul tells him here, he says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter number 5, verses 20 through 23. Isaiah chapter number 5, verses 20 through 23. All right. We just looked at knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto that individual that is wise in their own eyes and is prudent in their own sight. Flip over to chapter 47 in Isaiah and verse number 10. Isaiah 47 and verse number 10. This connects back to 1 Corinthians 8, talking about how knowledge puffeth up and charity edifieth. Isaiah 47 and verse number 10. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else besides thee, or beside me. Isaiah says here, through the Lord, he says, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, and hast said, none seeth me. And what's corrupted them? Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it's perverted them. They have a knowledge, they have wisdom, but that wisdom and that knowledge, it's perverted them. And how they view things. And in their mind, they think that God doesn't see what's going on in their life. He says, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, and thou hast said, none seeth me. You know, I appreciate the message that Brother Jeffcoat preached on Sunday about a disguise and hypocrisy. God sees right through that. The Bible says to confess, and not only, see, that's an issue, like I mentioned Sunday. A lot of people will confess, but they won't forsake. The book of Proverbs says to confess and to forsake. So, take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25. Bible this evening, look at Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25. Romans 11, 25. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. You know why some people are blind to this fact that or why people don't understand that blindness in part has happened to Israel and until the fullness of the Gentiles come in? It's because they're wise in their own conceits. You say, well, what are conceits? It means your conception. It means that which is conceived, imagined, or formed in the mind. Conceit means an idea or thought. He says here that you should be, that lest they should be wise in their own conceits. Take your Bible, look over at chapter 12 in Romans and verse number 16. Romans 12, 16. Remember, knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Again, be not wise in your own conceits. Well, this is what I think, or this is what I feel, or this is what I think it should be. But what does the Bible say? What does God's word say? Don't be wise in your own conceits. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 26:12 says, "Seest thou man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him." If you find a man that's wise in his own opinions, in his own ideas, in his own thoughts, and in his own imaginations, the Bible says in Proverbs 26:12 that there's more hope of a fool than of that individual who's wise in his own conceits. Well, I think, or I, no, what does the Bible say? What does God's word say? Proverbs 26:16 says, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You know why some people you can't reason with today about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because they're a sluggard that's wiser in their own conceit. If you have somebody that's lazy, not willing to work, not willing to get out there and try to make a living, and there's no excuse to say that there's no jobs out there, everywhere you turn, they're hiring. But if you have somebody that's rather to stay at home and I'll take support from the government and I'm not going to go out there if I'm able to work, I'm just going to sit at home and take what the government will give me, you're a sluggard that's wise in your own conceit. And you can have seven individuals come up to you and start to reason with you about the gospel of Jesus Christ and your need of a savior, and they're not going to get it because they're wiser in their own conceit. You can reason all day with them. There's more hope of a fool than that individual because they're wiser in their own conceit. And we have a generation today, we have a society today, that a vast majority is lazy, not willing to work, not willing to go out there and have to provide for their families or themselves. They'd rather have somebody else do it for them. Knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. Don't be wiser in your own conceit. Now look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, it says, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, look what he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. What Paul's saying here, he says, listen, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I understand all mystery, if I have all knowledge, and I have faith to where I can remove a mountain, and I don't have charity, I'm nothing. He says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And then he goes on to say, verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Suffer means this, to bear or to feel or bear what is painful, disagreeable, or distressing, either to the body or mind. It means to allow, to permit, not to forbid or hinder. As I was looking up this definition, this question was underneath it, and it says, will you suffer yourself to be insulted? Will you suffer? Will you allow yourself to bear what is painful or disagreeable to be insulted? Or will you immediately try to justify yourself? That's charity. Charity. Charity will sit there. This is charity, brethren. Charity will sit there and let the other individual receive the glory and honor, even though you might know they're wrong. And just take it. Just let it go. There's been many times I've had conversations with individuals, and I know in my head, I'm thinking, brother, that's not what happened. I knew for a fact what happened. I'm the brother, that ain't what happened. But the Lord said, just keep your mouth shut. Because of the situation, I don't think they would have received it anyways. But instead of making and proving myself and my point, just keep it quiet. Just show charity and just let it go. Charity doesn't vaunt itself. Charity isn't puffed up. charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not. The Bible, or the definition of envy, means this: to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. Being envious. Charity doesn't envy. Vaunt means this: to boast, to make a vain display of one's worth, attainments, or decorations, to brag. The Bible says here that charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I have an I love me wall? Anybody ever hear that before? So sometimes you see it in the military. I don't know. You go into an officer's office or somebody's office, and they have every achievement they've ever attained up on the wall. And it was said in the military that they got their I love me wall up. Basically, for everybody to see every attainment that they've attained when you walk in their room, like you're supposed to bow down before them because of who they are, because of what they've attained in this life. And they call it I love me wall. Basically, charity doesn't vaunt itself. Charity doesn't put forth its attainments and boast and proud of and make a display of one's own worth and attainments and decorations. That's the definition of vaunt. And the Bible says charity vaunteth not itself. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? He made himself of no reputation. If anybody should have an I love me wall, it should be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one to display of everything that he's done because he's God Almighty. Who am I to put up on a wall everything that I've done and I've attained? And then you try, either your attainments can make you be lifted up with pride, or your attainments, when you look at somebody else who has more than you, can drive you into despair. It could do one of the two things to you. It could either lift you up to where you think I'm above everybody else, or you can walk into somebody else's room and you realize, well, they've done a lot more than I, and it can just drive you into depression because you realize I'm not what they are. Just walk with God. Just walk humbly with the Savior. Don't be worried about what's going on around you, what everybody else may be doing or attaining or getting or having. Walk with God. Be content with the Lord Jesus Christ. He made himself of no reputation. Follow your Savior. And don't be worried about what others are saying about you or what they think of you. As long as you know you're clear before God and his word, walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, brethren, listen, it can, like I said, it can drive. If you start comparing yourselves among yourselves, you're going to devour one another. Because you're always going to try to one-up somebody else, because somebody else might just have a little bit more than what you got. They might attain just a little more than you'd have attained. And what are you going forward then? Are you going forward to try to attain more just so you can be one step ahead of them? Or are you doing it for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ? It all should be done for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boast means to brag or vaunt oneself or to exalt oneself. The Bible says to take up your cross daily and follow the Lord. So, take your Bible and look. We're going to close up here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14. Colossians chapter 3, charity. The last thing Paul says to show, he says to show charity. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then look what he says in verse 14. And above all these things that we just read in verses 12 and 13, he says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Bond means that which binds, ties, or fastens, or confines, or by which anything is fastened or bound. He says charity is the bond of perfectness. You can almost look at charity as a thread that can go through the beads or whatever you want to call it of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Charity will bring all those things together with itself when you put them all on, when you put all of them on, and it's the bond of perfectness, having charity. John 15:12. I got three more verses to look at, and they link together, dealing with charity. Charity is the bond of perfectness, and it's also the bond of peace. Look at John chapter 15 and 12. We're going to put these last three verses together, link them together. John 15:12. Jesus gives his disciples a commandment. John 15:12. Jesus says to them, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." So he says here, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now look over at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, 5. Paul talking to Timothy. He says in chapter 1 and verse number 5, he says this. He says, "Now the end of the commandment, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Charity out of a pure heart. And lastly, 1 Peter 4:8. Charity out of a pure heart. 1 Peter 4:8. Verse 7. 1 Peter 4, verse number 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Having charity. Charity will take it. Now this is what I'll say as I close up here this evening. Though we show charity amongst one another, and someone may claim, "Well, you need to show charity to me." But this is something you got to think of well also, is that charity doesn't make an excuse for sin. Do you understand? If there's sin in somebody's life, you can show charity, but that doesn't excuse the sin. So you might have somebody, and I've heard it before, "Well, you're just not showing charity to me." Well, you're living in sin. Does that make sense? If you're living in sin, you can't play the card of, "Well, don't deal with me about my sin because that's not showing charity." Absolutely not. If there's known sin and someone's trying to talk to you about it or deal with you about it and you ignore it, and you might use the card of, "Well, that's not charitable because you're being mean to me." Well, absolutely not. A true friend ought to do so, right? A true friend ought to show in a right attitude with charity because they love you and they care for you. But it makes no excuse for sin. If there's sin in the life, then you deal with it with charity. And if they reject it, you may try again, show charity. But then after that, if they keep going down the road that they want to go down, there's only so much you can do. Leave the rest in the Lord's hands. But charity night, 2 Peter chapter 1, these blocks, and we're gonna finish it up next week with the last part of verses here. But to me, in these days that we're living in, I believe that these are some of the most important things that a Christian ought to be studying and trying to implement into their life. I believe with all my heart. Look, there's a lot of interest in prophecy, and prophecy has its right place, but the Lord's going to come back no matter what. Right? I think a preacher has said one time, I think some Christians spend too much time trying to find Antichrist and not enough time with Jesus Christ. They spend too much time trying to figure out about Antichrist and end times and what the tribulation is going to be like and what's this going to be like and who's the dragon and when's that seventh seal going to be revealed. And they're spending too much time focusing on that rather than Jesus Christ, which is the most important thing today. If you have these building blocks in your life, what is the most important thing tomorrow morning, if God allows us to get up, and I'm talking about tonight, we go home and go to sleep. If the Lord allows us to wake up tomorrow morning, the most important thing is doing the will of the Father. And then the second thing then is making sure you're doing right within your own family, your home, whatever that may be. And then third, being a light and a witness to this world here about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that individuals might get saved and or see their need of a Savior. To pull them out from the judgment that's coming. That they would see their need of where they are before a holy God. And how is that exhibited? How are you able to go out there and that person that offends you, that person that mocks you, or that person that curses at you, yet you take it, you receive it, and you don't bite back? Because I don't know about you, brethren, but sometimes if I'm living in the flesh and I ain't spent as much time in the Bible as I ought, or I've neglected a little bit of time with the Lord, the flesh is quick to bite back. You bit me, I'm going to bite you back. That's a natural reaction in the flesh. You were nasty to me. My cashier's just nasty to me. My first thing is to bow up and be nasty back to you. If you're honest, the flesh doesn't like to be made fun of. The flesh doesn't like its pride hurt. The flesh doesn't like somebody else having a preeminence, or does somebody else know more, or somebody else putting you in your place. Flesh don't like that. Who are you to put me in my place? And so when that comes at you, because it will at some point, somebody's going to offend you. Someone's going to say something to you that you don't like. Is the flesh quick to bite back, or is it receive it, show charity? I realize what's going on here, and I'm going to show charity. What does the Bible say in Proverbs? It says a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Yes, turn away. Yes. A what? A soft what? Think about that for a second. Someone treats you nasty. It's downright nasty. And you sit there and you're like, yeah, I'll take it. And then they're going to look at you like, you ain't going to say something back to me? There's a few times in my life and that I've been able to implement it, and then they're scratching their head. And then all of a sudden you see them kind of humbling down a little bit. And you might even get an opportunity to talk with them. Because you didn't, look, people of the world expect for you to bite back. They expect it because everybody else does. But when they run across a true Christian who doesn't bite back, when they're dealt with in a nasty way, as you're going through the cashier and the cashier just has an attitude and they won't even talk to you, they won't even say hi, but yet you try to be nice and something happens and they go off and you're just there quiet and you just handle it the right way and you say something softly back to them, right attitude. So often you see them all, most of the time they'll kind of bring it down a little bit. Because the Bible is truth. Implement it into your life, and you'll see God get into some things that you never thought God would get into. Because it starts with us having a right attitude. It starts with us having charity, brotherly kindness, love, joy, peace, all the fruits there, what Peter talks about in 2 Peter. Implementing them into our life and allowing God to get a hold of some people that need to see their need of salvation in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a true Christian, in the way a true Christian should act. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. I pray you'd help me, dear God, just to implement these things. I pray you'd help these precious brethren, Lord, that we just take it to heart. Lord, that we just try to apply it to our life, dear God. May we just realize that we are nothing without you, Lord. We're nothing without our precious Savior. Help us to realize that, dear God, that there's no good in us, dear God, outside of you. None. There's none good but God. And Lord, help us to realize that. Help us to realize that we're just mere flesh, dear God, that you've shown grace to, Lord, and allowed to get in on this thing. You've allowed us to live for you and be a light and a testimony and to be an ambassador. Help us to be a faithful, charitable ambassador for you. Lord, help us through the rest of this week. Lord, help the precious brethren that are going through things, that have sicknesses, that have loved ones that are sick. Lord, watch over them, encourage them, bless them, and help them tonight. And we ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Amen.